The following is an at-will presentation.
It wasn't that the world was out to get her. She just made it harder on herself sometimes. I guess that's one of the side effects of a heart that's always wide open. She wasn't quite sure if what she was letting in or out, for that matter, was good or bad. But my God, she felt everything. You have to understand that some wildflowers carry both the pollen and the poison. Living with that much life and death could grow tiresome. Feeling too much instead of becoming numb. I wasn't sure whether to run from her or towards her, so I ran with her. And for the first time in a long time, I believed in something. J. Raymond.
This is a conversation with
this
a man.
Is a conversation
I love.
This is a man conversation
with a
man.
A girl, I love named
this
Sass.
Is a conversation,
this is a conversation with a man I love named Cole.
My name is Nico Tortorella.
Welcome to the Love Bomb.
Hey, what's up, people? All right, it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, February 14th. According to my mom,
Valentine's Day is a day that is a money maker for the florists, the candy makers, the Hallmark cards. That's what it's all about. Every day should be sweetheart Valentine's Day when you're in a relationship. It doesn't have to be February 14th.
Now, we both agree every day should be Valentine's Day. Every single day. If you're in a relationship or not, you just put it out there. Put it out in the world, all right? Also, even though we're on a little bit of a hiatus right now between season one and two, make sure you stay subscribed and stay on the lookout for all these little special love bombs that we're going to be dropping from now until then. I'm telling you right now, season two is going to be hot. In this episode, we're going back to season one mashup of my favorite episodes. So whether you listened to all the episodes, in which case, thank you very much, or you haven't, you've only listened to a few of them, this will just point you in the right direction of what you want to go back and listen to. Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the Best of the Bomb.
As I've said, family has always, always been the most important thing in my life, and I can't have a conversation about family without hearing from the person that has become my family over the past 10 plus years, Bethany Myers from episode 1.
There was a point where we had broken up early on in our relationship, and we were still sleeping together, right? You would come over to my apartment. We were sleeping together. I mean, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, for quite a bit, our relationship, we're just, like, fucking around.
Yeah. But do you remember when we ran into each other in the elevator?
Yeah. So, you know, I would, like, see him on campus sometimes, and he would be like, oh, you know, can I come by tonight? And that meant, you know, we were going to have a night. So I see him in the elevator, and he's like, hey, do you want to come over? And I was like, oh, I'm on my girly time, because at that point I couldn't seem to say period out loud.
Times have changed.
And you looked at me and you were like, I don't care. That's fine.
Not meaning that I wanted to have sex with you on your period.
No.
Meaning that, like, let's just fucking hang out.
Like, I don't care. Just come over and we don't have to have sex.
Yeah. I think that's when things really shifted.
Yeah. I was thinking about a different story, I think, later down the road.
Go ahead.
This is kind of a big one. But whenever I was living in Dallas, this was maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. This happened, 5, 6 years ago. I was living in Dallas, and you were in L.A., mm-hmm. And we had 6 months, probably like the biggest span of time away from each other.
Yeah.
That was probably the only time that we actually didn't talk.
Yeah, we weren't talking at this point at all.
That was it. And
the only time in 10 years that we haven't talked.
Right. And I was sleeping with somebody. Anyway, randomly you called me. We kind of reconnected. I was very, very unsure about you. Like, I had some walls up with you. Didn't know that I could, like, trust you again. I mean, it was a very interesting place for me, I know. And I think you were going through some things as well. And you said, I'm going to come down. I want to come and see you. And you came, and we had this amazing weekend together, and it was fantastic. And we slept with each other, whatever, you go back. And then, I don't know, a week later, 2 weeks later, I hadn't had my period. And all of a sudden, I realized I was pregnant. And it wasn't yours whenever I did the math. Right. It was someone else. And this guy was like definitely not going to be there. It wasn't something I was going to continue with, but you were the first person I called. And you got on a plane right away and you came down and you stayed with me for 2 weeks. You held my hair back when I was throwing up over the toilet and laying on the floor. And it wasn't even yours. And it wasn't a question. And that was the moment when I was like, this person is my person, you know? Like, he would do anything for me. It doesn't matter if we haven't seen each other in 6 years. You're my family.
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 That's really what it's all about at the end of the day. I mean, we've spent so much time together. Have been at the lowest with each other, have been at the highest with each other, have been so fucking high with each other. And, you know, family's always been the most important thing in my life, right? And I don't know, I'm so lucky to have you as, like, you know, the top of my family. I love you so much, babe.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
In episode 10, I got to chat with the lovely Hillary Duff about what she teaches her family about love.
If I was Luca and I came up to you right now and I said, Mommy, what is love? What would your answer be?
Aw, that's really sweet. I guess I would say love is that feeling that makes you feel complete, that you get when you're around your family, that you get when you're around your friends, and it's a feeling of acceptance, you know, that you're accepted for who you are completely, and it's that beat you get in your heart, in your chest.
To the beat of my heart. Love you.
And in episode 7, we had the opportunity to listen to Eric Rutherford's heartbreaking story of a family that could have been.
So what we were going to do is we were going to adopt a child through the foster system in California. I always wanted two kids because I have just that understanding of, you know, being adopted, being alone, that kind of that struggle with it. But, and there's so many siblings in the system.
Agencies,
yeah, right. So it's like keep the family together, so to speak. So we got approved for the agency and all of a sudden we got a call. Twin boys, 2.5 years old. I remember distinctly it was on a Wednesday. And we had always thought we'd always wanted one, a newborn, because I wanted to go through that process. Mm-hmm. And then some, you know, like 2.5, 3 years old, whatever it is. And I remember we got the call and it was so shocking because like, this is happening.
Right.
This is it. This could be it. And I remember though looking at him going, it's not what we wanted. And then him saying, yeah. And then we both kind of caught ourselves like, wait a minute. This is what, you know, is coming to you. This is faith, fate, right. Whatever, paths, crossing, whatever. And then even bigger picture, these are two kids that need a home.
Need a home.
And that was the biggest thing. So we kind of laughed about it, or I certainly remember laughing about it. And then we had the opportunity, which normally doesn't happen. We got to meet the boys on the Thursday.
Because they were 2.5?
They were 2.5 years old, and because they were already had been removed from the mom's house, and they were with another foster family that actually didn't want them anymore. So, and then we said yes, and then they showed up at our house on Friday, and our lives changed. I almost said their names, and I can't really say it. So immediately became this family unit. They were.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So that was in April, and they were scarred for sure. There are a lot of things that they were afraid just going through this process. And, you know, we had made this arrangement where he was going to be the stay-at-home dad, you know, and then I would pick up more work and I would travel. And at the time I was traveling a lot. But we did it. And so he was with them and he truly, I could cry. They couldn't go to sleep without their clothes on. They had to keep their clothes on. They were afraid to take a shower. They would overeat because they didn't know where their food was coming from. I mean, it was all these things. Mm-hmm. And he really, I mean, he nursed them. He healed them, you know, and we became this unit. And it was dad and dad. And it's not that I felt like it completed me, to quote Renee Zellweger. But it was as if it made sense.
It's a purpose, yeah.
It made so much sense to me. And truly when they say when you have kids, all the little stuff falls away and don't sweat the small stuff or whatever. Any kind of like, of my own emotional bullshit, his stuff or whatever, getting caught up in things or things with people even, you didn't have time for it. And because it was really about these kids. Mm-hmm. And so we slowly, they got better and we, you know, we'd get up and then we got into a system and we got them in school and it took place over the summer and we celebrated a birthday with them and it was wonderful. And, you know, we were going through this process and they were going to terminate the mother's rights because depending on the age, the birth parent or whomever's involved has a certain amount of time to kind of get their life together, get their act together.
It's different in every state.
Yes. Yeah. So then she had a year to get it together. And because we got them, they had already been in the system. So it was at the tail end of it. And everyone was saying, she's not doing it. She's not doing what she needs to do. She's unfit. She's not capable, the whole thing. So we started going through the process of they're ours. About 5 months in, the judge reversed the decision. But it was not, it had nothing to do with us. It had to do with the state of California was bankrupt. And every time a child becomes a ward of the state, they get a stipend.
Jesus.
And because there wasn't any money, so they were looking to change that. And so they said any child that hadn't been adopted was instead to go to reunification with the birth parent. So that last month where we actually thought at the end of the 6 months we were going to get these boys and begin that process, instead of getting them, we actually started the process of giving them back.
Oh, my.
And, you know, it was like, you know, this the world was like breaking apart because it just was such a natural, it just felt so right, you know? And I just remember like there was the last weekend and we had been so private and so protective of these boys that we really didn't share it with a lot of our friends. And even family, like it wasn't until the last weekend that we had them that we got my parents to fly out. And they introduced them, so at least they knew that what we had gone through or met them. But to this day, we still have a lot of people that have no idea what that was like.
Look, family is not always easy, especially if you're different, something I know all too well. In episode 17, Colby Keller tells us his story of coming out.
Who was the first person in your family that you told you were gay?
First person in my family, it would have been my parents. They actually told me.
Shut up. Really?
Well, I had, you know, I'm very sexual too and have always been pretty sexual. And as a kid, I liked porn. Like I had a big box. I used to go to the Barnes & Noble, Brookstop, whatever it was. And I would go as a 15-year-old and buy gay porn magazines.
Oh, wow.
So I had this big box of porn magazines and like, I think at that time, probably video cassettes.
Uh-huh.
And I had it underneath my sink in the corner. I had my own bathroom upstairs.
Real sneaky.
Yeah. And my mother, for whatever reason, she never went under the sink. I don't know why this one day she decided to like look under the sink. She finds the porn. And I kind of knew what was up because the box had disappeared.
You know? Oh, she didn't say anything. She just
didn't
took
say
the box.
Like, there's just the box is gone.
Sneaky.
And
mom.
Then I gotta like, you know, we need to have a conversation. Uh-huh. You know,
like a whole sit down situation.
Well, when they, I think after school one day they like, you know, decided this was the night, and I ran into my room and closed the door and locked the door, and we had the conversation through my bedroom door. And it was a real revelation. Like my father, you know, as this young, you know, evangelical kid, I would always pray for my father because I thought he was a sinner and, you know, he was just interested in like pleasure. And he was really supportive. You know, he was crying. He was, you know, he was doing everything he could in the language that he possessed to try to comfort me and make it okay for me. Mm-hmm. And my mother, you know, this great upstanding Christian woman, she tells me she's angry. She's not trying to read the Bible, which I'm just like, no, we're not going to do this. And she tells me, she's like, you know, I wish I had a gun and I would just, you know, so I could kill you and then blow my own brains out all over the sofa.
Shut the fuck up.
And that was a moment where I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
Oh, wow. How old are you at this point?
I was 15.
15. I wish I had a gun.
Yeah.
The drama from the mom.
And it, you know, it really created, you know, I love my mother and she really is a beautiful human being.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I stopped calling her mother after that. To this day, I really don't call her mother because of that incident.
In episode 20, Breezy of the fashion duo Coco and Breezy explains what telling her parents was like for her.
When I first told my dad, he cried.
Mm.
And I think
Daddy cried?
Yeah, he cried, girl.
Hmm.
You weren't in the phone. Well, first of all, I was like, Breezy, when you tell mom and dad or tell anybody, if anybody judges you, girl, you have me.
Yeah. Well, did you always know?
You know what? Growing up our whole life, I fought it.
Hmm.
I always knew. And Breezy never explored it until a couple years ago.
Okay.
So maybe 7 years ago. But as kids, I always knew. And I knew she always wanted to explore, but I kind of stopped her from exploring it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm like, Breezy, wear heels with me. Wear a skirt with me. Breezy, isn't he cute? You know, I used to just force her to be so girly.
Right.
I didn't force her, but I kind of did force her.
Well, other way around, did you force any of your stuff on her?
I think I forced Coco to, like, dress more.
Last year, I dressed
androgynous. Because she would, whenever I wear heels, she would be like, Coco, why are you wearing that? This year is my first year that I found my sex appeal.
Mm.
I feel like I've been sexy. The past couple years, Breezy made me kind of androgynous. I didn't feel sexy. I felt cute. Mm. I felt like a cute young girl. This year is a year that I feel like a sexy woman.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, like women, you should know that it's okay to feel sexy.
Yeah.
But there was times where Breezy would have me wearing her clothes. It was all last year. I did not feel sexy.
Yeah.
And I would always tell you, right?
I'm like, Breezy,
I don't feel, like, I feel cute, but mm-hmm. like.
There's a time and place for cute. There's a time and place for sexy.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So this year, I've been really exploring my own style and being sexy.
Do you like feeling sexy?
And now she feels sexy for what she wears.
But I feel sexy in my own way, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But you sexy when you're wearing something that you're comfortable with.
I feel swaggy. You feel sexy.
I feel swaggy and sexy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You feel hot when you're wearing something that you feel comfortable with.
Of course.
Yeah. Last year, I didn't feel comfortable wearing most of those clothes.
Exactly.
And you never felt comfortable when I had you wear my clothes.
Mm. No.
All right, so you're on the phone with dad.
Oh, so I'm on my phone with my dad, and I just blurted it out to him. Like, I have a girlfriend. Because it was eating me up inside. I'm like, I'm living my life.
You didn't hide for that long, though.
It was like a couple days or a week. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm living in New York. I'm like paying my own bills. I'm living my own dreams. Like, no one can say anything to me.
Yeah.
So I honestly, like, my parents can't cut me off. You know how some parents, like, they can cut you off?
Right.
If you're doing something that they don't like, you can't cut me off.
They can emotionally cut you off.
Yeah, but my mom and dad wouldn't do that because we just have that. They're like my besties.
Lucky.
Yeah, I feel blessed because a lot of people have parents that will emotionally cut them off, even when they think that they're super close.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, my dad called me back and he was like, "You know what? If whatever makes you happy, I don't agree with it, but I respect it." I was like, "All right, cool."
Cool.
So then my mom, she was just like, "Oh, I'm not surprised." Yeah, my mom's super cool. But now my parents, they just love us and they really just, like, support us.
Yeah.
And I have some friends that they have parents that have emotionally cut them off.
Right.
And I think that's really bizarre. And I don't understand it. Because I think that if it's your child, like, don't you just want them to be happy?
Yeah, I mean,
so would you rather them be with a guy or with someone that they don't like that's abusing them or, like, doing, like, they think that's okay, but being with a woman or two women together, two men together, they think it's, like,
right.
The worst thing in the world.
And then there's everyone's favorite Dairy Queen, Milky Milk, 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 who in episode 2 shares the incredible letter he received from his father after telling him he was gay.
My dad and I never really had a great, great relationship growing up. We were both sort of quiet to each other. We never expressed, like, love. We mostly expressed, like, anger and, like, resentment and stuff.
Okay.
But we definitely did have, like, we did have a loving relationship. It's just we weren't able to vocalize it.
Right.
And
which is totally normal.
Right, yeah. And so the easiest way for me, like, I was talking to my mom, and she was like, well, maybe you should just email him.
Because you had already told your mom at this point.
And maybe you should just email him. And I was like, okay, I guess that's an okay way to come out to dad. And so I wrote him this email about just, like, who I was and all that sort of stuff. And then he responded with, do you want me to read it?
I would love for you to read it because it is so beautiful.
Okay.
I mean, we should all be so lucky to have parents like this.
Yes. He said, hi, Dan. What took you so long? ... Just kidding. And then he did one of the very first emoticons. He was like, first time I tried using these goofy little emoticons. He goes on, he says, please know that the measure of a person is the positive difference they can make in the lives they touch and not who they bed with. I can imagine how difficult it was to come to grips with the reality of who you are, but the reality of the situation is that you are a talented, caring, gifted person whose sexual preference does not even enter into that equation of life. I will not say I still love you, as that would mean a break that I would have had made a decision to or not to, but no, I always love you. I am relieved that you didn't have an emotional breakdown dealing with your thoughts and feelings, and that shows the strength and character that you have developed through it all. Love, Dad. So magic, right?
So magic.
Our sponsor for this episode is Mack Weldon. Look, let's be honest. I love wearing underwear. I hate free balling. Can't do it, never will, never have. I like boxer briefs. Can't wear a pair of boxers, not my shit. All right, I need a pair of underwear that I could wake up, put on, go to the gym, wear for the rest of the day, keep on when I go to sleep. Okay, not all underwear can do that. Mack Weldon, it can. They've got this line of silver underwear that actually eliminates odor. It's like premium fabrics, and they also have amazing t-shirts and hoodies and socks and all that other good stuff. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using the promo code LOVEBOMB. This is the Love Bomb, brought to you by Mack Weldon. Trying to get lucky tonight? Make sure you wear your Mack Weldons. There are several times in season one that we learn that not all relationships work, especially some of those relationships that are with me. I mean, let's be honest. We've got La Demi from episode 6, Kyle Krieger from episode 4, and I'm sure there's going to be some more in season 2.
I mean, we definitely had a fight at one point.
Yes. There
was a giant misunderstanding and a miscommunication, and I take full blame. And responsibility for it.
It was horrible.
You want to give a little backstory?
Well, I don't know if my story is the same story as like what you were going through, but my story was horrible. And I never wanted to talk to you again.
No, and you told me that. I mean, you sent me a text message that was like, I never want to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I hope I never meet another person like you ever mm-hmm. again. Like,
I hated you.
Like, those were fighting words.
After that, I've never done so many drugs in my life that night.
Really?
Never in my whole entire – like, I've never experimented and never partied as crazy. I literally felt like I lost it.
Why do you think ultimately we didn't work?
Well, it's your fault. I'm trying to think.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in here. I think that one of the best things about our relationship was our ability to communicate with each other. And I learned that from you because I have not always been a very good communicator when I'm in relationships. And you have this maturity about your love that you give that was new to me. And you talk about your feelings, not necessarily with mass people, but with me, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And you let me know how you were feeling all of the time. And when I started pulling back, I knew that I owed it to you to tell you about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing I did. I was like, let's go walk over the Williamsburg Bridge and let's have a conversation about where we are and what we're doing and how we're feeling. And I hadn't made any type of decision at all. I just wanted to see where you were. You know, 4 months into a relationship, I think you really start to get to know somebody on a different level than you do during the beginning honeymoon phase, right? And I was just kind of gauging where you were. And that was I think, how the beginning of the end happened, right?
I knew what was coming, even in that conversation. That's why, like, I was feeling so off that day. I was like, oh, that's like him breaching the topic of him leaving. I was just like, oh, he doesn't feel this. Like, I just knew, like, I had been broken up with like that before. And then I went home and I told my roommates, I was like, I give it a week. And like, slowly but surely, he's just going to like create more boundaries of himself to like pull away. And then like clockwork, it happened. Just because it had happened before. You know, there's like a quote in My Best Friend's Wedding, which is like one of my favorite movies, and she says, she's talking about saying I love you, and you either say it in that moment or the moment just passes you by. And every time that I wanted to say it, I just felt like the moment just passed me by.
We got to hear from the love expert Brian Reeves in episode 13.
Humanity, I really believe, and again, this is a former Air Force captain from the United States East Coast, raised outside of Baltimore, Maryland. I believe we are evolving in the direction of love.
Mm.
I really believe that. I believe that because it's just too painful to stay in our nightmare of scarcity and division, and we're evolving to really see just how connected we all truly are.
Right.
And the intimate relationship between two people, or maybe more, but the intimate relationship is the place within which we are really mirrored. All our shit gets shown to us through this other person right in front of us every day in and day out. And man, it's confronting.
And we heard stories of people who are still learning about love, like in episode 9 with Ryan Muirhead.
Have you had any positive sexual experience at this age in your life?
That's a complicated answer. I would say there have been some that have been positive, but I mean mixed with so much like anxiety, fear, and guilt. You know, where like I didn't feel taken advantage of by a person, or like I was doing or taking advantage of them and I cared, but like overriding like just panic levels of anxiety and guilt and a lot of shame. You know, like, oh, you're 35, like you can barely like physically navigate yourself through the mechanics, you know, just like it's been pretty awful.
We heard about breakups that did not involve me, like Ian Daniel from episode 19.
You know, I met someone at a bar and I went to the bar to dance alone because I do that. I'm like, I'm gonna go dancing, I'll do whatever the hell I want. And I think he found that attractive and we started dancing, and it was a one night stand, and he was a lot younger than I was. But we were together for 3.5 years.
Wow. Yeah,
that was my first like really legitimate relationship, and that's the one I just got out of.
Oh, this is the most recent one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The past, you know, we've been broken up for I guess like 5 months, but technically like separated for the last like 2 months.
How you doing?
I'm getting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it's been interesting to just be candid about the collapse phase of it, of me feeling like suddenly my world collapsed, and that means the relationship and the reality of coming back from the intensity of shooting Gaycation and just really understanding that my world had shifted and just accepting it and not trying to like get back into the comfort zone. So that's kind of what I'm going through right now.
Okay.
And it feels like it's good.
We also heard from couples like Julie and Emily from episode 15 who somehow have managed to keep that fire burning for over 12 years.
So when somebody is like, so how do you guys have sex?
Oh my God.
What do you do?
I mean, I try to like dodge the bullet. How do you have sex?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how do you respond to the asshole that asks you? And then how do you respond to this person that is actually curious and wants to know more?
The asshole will usually just say, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Go figure it out yourself. You've probably seen plenty of porn. You can,
right.
like, you know, yeah. put two and two together. The person is actually, we're actually very open to talking about our life and our sex life and our relationship. Like, there's always people that find out and they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many vaginas have you seen? Like, we literally had this conversation like 2 weekends ago with like another couple of our friends, and I'm like, you can ask whatever you want, like we're totally open to talking about it, but to the person that is actually curious, we'll be totally open and transparent about it. We're not shy about it at all.
Okay.
And I feel like our sex life just isn't that complicated, to
right.
be honest.
The fact that there's two or four holes, right? And there's yeah. not one thing that's going into another hole.
Like, right.
Sex
exactly.
between a man and a woman, there's one thing that goes in. Sex between two men, there's like an
mm-hmm.
inserter and,
right.
you know,
yeah.
a bottom. Let's
oh,
be honest.
Yeah.
So just in terms of that.
Right.
You get really creative.
Right.
Yeah.
Like how many toys do you guys have?
We don't have that many toys.
All right.
I mean, it's really natural.
Yeah.
We don't really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it super complicated. We're not
yeah.
really kinky
no.
like that.
Okay.
I would say like when we were younger, there was more exploration,
right.
obviously. But when you're so comfortable with somebody, like, I mean, it just isn't that important to me to like try crazy new things when like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Like
yeah.
we figured it out. We've been together for 12 years.
Right.
So, yeah.
So there's no more strap-ons. There's no more any of
Not
those
really.
Things? You guys
no.
are just all natural?
Mm-hmm.
Can I
yeah.
ask who usually comes first?
Actually,
We take turns.
Yeah.
We take turns?
Yeah.
It is definitely a turn-taking situation. Yeah. That is an interesting question. No one has ever asked us that before.
It's usually somebody like...
Somebody does come first.
It's usually...
It's like almost... I mean, it has happened at the same time.
Yeah.
But that is rare.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, like, it's usually the person who's like, all right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you go first. Yeah, okay, like, go, like I'll go first.
Whoever's, right. like, initiating. Yeah,
who's ever initiating it, like, that
usually
day.
Usually goes first.
That's hysterical.
All right, guys, I want to end this episode on a more serious note. Please, please, please remember to go ahead on iTunes and rate and review this shit. Happy Valentine's Day, y'all. I love you. This is the Love Bomb. Gracefully destroy me. Take my hands and push. Pull me down the rabbit hole, rascally. Get drunk on sweet nectar. Dive pits of hives, honey. Strip my coconut-oiled olive skin with your sunburnt Bakelite potato peeler. Lay it under the therapist's Chesterfield chase. Wear my hide as a rug. Not-so-hidden fur braided with your not-so-shy auburn tones. Slip in my antlered, plastered feet and protect groundage, you pilgrimage. We trek. Safe travels take me on journey this far beyond vacation. Effervescently destroy walls, crumble pillars, and illegally enter. Your green card, fact blue. Electrically cobalt shimmer waltz through my esoteric maloka. Daylight inevitably turns night just past the hour of our ancestors. Then the cycle begin again. Symbiosis. If you noon's royal shade, I take the black of night. Perhaps as both crystal white cloud tear collectors, washing machines, 24-hour loop dependent on one another, separately très magnifique, dynamically influential, intrinsically linked, moon appearing at times both dawn and dusk, light and dark, stone in sky. Without coincidence, those days are special. If us battlefield burning real flare, let her lunar blast ignite wick. Crescent pole can move oceans. Yours noggin may always be at war, but let me be organic's white linen flag. Heart's eclipse isn't a dripless candle fairy tale. She will indeed bleed dragon's blood. Falcon spells. I've always loved the art of beeswax mountain, imagining now in caps of blue. I could purge novels on how strongly you came through in Peru. Some say you can't be in two places at once. I know, that's a falsity. Cosmic transcendence, maps of complex symbols rooted in spiritual belief. One night, visioned face in mandala centered, exploding soft colors, emotional algorithms, the falcon. Smiling, beaming. Clarifying sage, burning mind's desire, undoubtedly protecting ashrams, mind's eye, mind's eye. And if you say that words fail and destroy, I hope you know these stanzas are more than descriptive. Mas de poesia. Our tongues intertwined seemingly lifetimes ago. If all atoms created billions of years ago, this is reunion, levitation. In this flotation, our own language is developing. Anciently, extraterrestrially human, voices recorded, data collection, narrative exceptional, co-authored, apparently manifesto writing itself in cosmos. Lapis azuli, teacher to student, student to teacher, enlightenment, truth. I promise to work on always being able to provide both. So delicately destroy me. I see you. I see you taking form, shape-shifting, shape-healing. I may undoubtedly destroy parts of you, but all I ask is we help each other gently put pieces back together with compassion, empathy, and eagerness for the duality of education. And let us not forget we may just be the crystal white clouds collecting tears. You see, even the earth itself needs weepage time to time. I most definitely see you. Third-eyed, I am part of you, you a piece of me. What will we be at the end of this, you ask? At the end of it all, we may just be it. exceptionally without expectations, it, dragon to falcon, falcon to dragon. Accolades received, awards to breathe, sworded, sorted, soared, it. Nico.